start the shiur in just a minute. Okay, so we're on Daf Tesvav Amid Beis.
Okay.
And
it's stupid shot at once.
Right. No, it's some coincidence. Tesvav too. So if you count up from the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines, b'maikom mifugi. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So in a few minutes, I'll review the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. But first, let's just read the Gemara. The Gemara says,
this is the same as the
The short for Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is Reish Lakish. That's the short form. So he says the following. Basra Sofek HaMiflegi. What they're arguing about is the case of Hasra Sofek. Meaning, before you get Malkus, you have to be warned not to do the Avera. And if you violate the Hasra, you violate that warning, then you get Malkus. But it's got to be a warning that's absolutely certain. That we definitely know that if you violate the warning, you will incur a Chiv Malkus. You will get that punishment. What happens if it's only a Sofek? So the Gemara says that's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Mar Sovar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Asra Sofek Shmei Asra, the Torah validates Asra even though it's uncertain. Umar Sovar, Reish Lakish holds Asra Sofek Lo Shmei Asra. And now the Gemara is going to proceed to show you on what case did they have this argument. That's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But we're going to take a bit of a break now, and we're going to go back to the original machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we try to analyze why the Gemara thinks that that machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish depends upon the issue of Hasra Safek. So what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? We spoke about it last week. There's something called the Lav HaNitakli Essay, which means a violation which, after you violate the Losa, so the Torah says, rectify that law, fix it up, and fulfill an essay, fulfill a positive command. A classical example of that would be stealing. The Torah says, don't steal. And then the Torah says, and if you steal, you're obligated to return the stolen object. So that's called a law hanitak le'essay.
You can't do tshuva until you return it?
Well, there's two parts to tshuva. There's Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. So first we have to go through Bein Adam LaChavero. Bein Adam LaChavero means that I have to return the object that I stole from. Then after that, I could do tshuva. But the prerequisite for tshuva would be fix up what you did to someone else.
It also requires a fifth, some sheep.
Yeah. Well, no, not in all cases. Sometimes you have to pay kefel, you have to pay 200%, sometimes you have to pay 400%.
Oh, okay.
But that's not for us now.
Yeah,
so what are we focusing on? We're focusing on a concept called Lav HaNitak Le'essay.
Mm-hmm.
What would be an example of a Lav HaNitak Le'essay? Say it aloud. Okay, excellent. That you're not allowed to leave the meat of Kodshim beyond its allotted time. Every Kodesh has its allotted time. You have to eat it within that allotted time. If you left it over, then you violate the law of Lo Sasiru Mimenu Ad Boker. You violate the law of Lo Sasiru. Then the Torah commands you to do what?
Tisrofu,
correct.
What?
Tisrofu means to burn it. You have to take the nosar, that meat that you left over, and you have to burn it.
That's a mitzvah.
And that's a mitzvah. So that makes the law a law anitak le'essay. So here we have the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the following. At what point do you get Malkus for a Lav HaNitak Le'essay? Says Rabbi Yochanan, you have to actively make it impossible to fulfill the essay. And in the language of Rabbi Yochanan, that's called Bitlo. Okay? Which means, like, let's say, for example, in the case of Gzela, supposing I steal your object and then I destroy the object. If I destroy the object, I no longer have the possibility of fulfilling the essay of returning the object, and now that becomes bittel essay. Why am I chayv malchus? Says Rabbi Yochanan, I'm chayv malchus for being mevatel the essay, because I destroyed the essay. Svi, does that make sense to you? Is that new or old? I mean,
I think
bitlo v'lo bitlo. That's called bitlo v'lo bitlo. So the Gemara says the following, that bitlo velo bitlo, by definition, is called hasra safek. Why? Because when I warn you, don't... Okay, let me give you the classical case of gzela, let's say, for example. When I warn you, don't steal something, then the warning has to include the following. If you steal, you violate a law, and therefore you're chayev malchus. But wait a minute. You can steal and not be chayev malchus. When are you chayev malchus? When and if are you chayev malchus, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Only if you destroy the object. That's called bitlo. Well, you gave me hasra sofek. There's no certainty that when I violate your hasra, ipso facto, I'll be chayev malchus, because who knows, who can predict if down the line I'll be mevatel yeser, I won't be mevatel yeser. And yet, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan maintains that bitlo v'lo bitlo, once he's mevatel yeser, he's chayev malchus. It must be, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that Asra is Sofek Shmei Asra, that the Torah validates even Asra b'Sofek. Then comes Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish holds that Asra is Sofek Lav Shmei Asra. The Torah does not recognize a doubtful or contingent Asra. Therefore, Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot be right. It cannot be so that bitlo v'lo bitlo, that Yechayv Malkus for being mevatel yeser, because there was no asra. And without a valid asra, you can never be Chayv Malkus. Therefore, Reish Lakish offers a different definition. In lav anitak lesei kimo v'lo kimo, which means the following, that we're going to give you a choice. You violated the lav, you stole something, and we're going to say to you, buddy, you have one of two alternatives. Either return the object and thereby rectify the lav and alleviate yourself of malchus, or if you refuse to return the object that you stole and you're not willing to be makayim the essay of Veheshev Sagzela, return the gzela, then you get malchus. Now, according to Reish Lakish, this case of kimo v'lo kimo is asros vadai. Why? So Rashi gives a pshat. And Rashi says the following. This is Dibra Maskel Reish Lakish Savar. In the wide lines, it's about six lines down. Says Rashi in Reish Lakish, and we'll skip to the third line in this Rashi just to save time, because you know this is just reviewing what we did already. He says, Halav Mishiagaresh Nigmar. And therefore, havi le asras vadai. So you want to underline those words. We're going to come back to this. Rashi says that if you hold kimo velo kimo, which is Reish Lakish's opinion, then as soon as you violate the lav, you have completed the avera. And then Rashi says, ve'a esei nitan lios tachas amalkas. Underline those words. Rashi says that if you hold kimo velo kimo like Reish Lakish, then the esei is a substitute for the malchus. The word tachas means a chalipin, a substitute. So therefore Rashi says that in the case of kimo v'lo kimo, dasro is asros vada, even though you do have a possibility of wiggling out of the malchus, but you're already chayev malchus immediately upon the violation of the law. That's already clinched. You know, you can knock the nails in the coffin, you violated the law, you're chayev malchus. Narvas, you can somehow substitute for the malchus a different punishment, so to speak. You can do something that would replace the malchus, and that's called the kium essay. That's Reish Lakish kimo v'lo kimo. Sam, does it make sense what I'm saying? Okay. You have to bear with me because my head is a little heavy tonight, you know. Yeah, okay, so you have this down. Okay, Rabbi Kapustin is already way beyond, because he already learned it last week, and Aaron already made a siyum on Masechet Makis, right? So this is for sure a review. Okay, all right. So again, just to review, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Hasra Sofeg, who can help me out here? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Asra Safek Shmei Asra, and therefore Bitlo becomes an option. Even though in Bitlo by definition is always going to be a Safek, because I don't know if he's going to be Mevatel the essay, no one could predict. Reish Lakish, therefore, since Asra Safek Lav Shmei Asra, according to Reish Lakish, he cannot possibly embrace the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Bitlo. His only option, his fallback position, will be chemo velo chemo, which Rashi says that the Gemar Averis Alav is with the Lav itself, and the chemo essay is only coming to substitute and replace the Malkus. That's called Lasroas Vadai. Now I want to show you Tosus. And Sammy, this we only tangentially touched on last time. So this is going to be what we call foring ahead. Tosus Dibra Maskel B'Maiko Mifli. And I want you to fast forward to the fifth line of Tosus. This is where we're holding. Vim Tomar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many lines is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. You see the first word in the line is Gabi. You have that? Vim Tomar. Vim Tomar, Lokiem Shiluach Haem, Kishabezdin, his hero lo, Lolilk, Bishosha Ova Asura Safeki, Shemi Yakayim HaEsei. Now, another classical case of Lav Anita Klesei is Shiluach HaKen. The Torah says, Lotucha Lika Haem Alabonim, Shaleach Teshalach HaEsei. That means you're not allowed to take the mother bird while she's hovering over the small birds. And what you have to do is send out the mother bird. So if you violate the lav and you took the mother, then the Torah gives you an essay and says, send away the mother. That's called the lav anitak lesa. So Tosus says, even if I hold chemo velo chemo, which means that if he comes to Bezdin and Bezdin gives him the option of fulfilling the essay, right? Of fulfilling the essay, it's called chemo velo chemo, and he refuses, then he should get Malkus. Tosus says, but it's still Asra Safi, because when he violated the lav and he took the mother, we have no way of knowing, of predicting, whether he's going to send away the mother bird. He took the eggs while the mother was hovering over the nest. Now the question is, will he send away the mother? So when we gave Masra, don't take away the fledglings, you know, with the mother's presence, that's Asra Sofik, because maybe, possibly, he'll be Mekayim the essay. I mean, to the same...
It's government. You're supposed to send the mother bird before you take the egg. I don't understand the case. He took the eggs without sending the mother. Case done.
I don't know all the dinim of Shiluach HaKan. For that, we have to learn a perek in Chulin. But let's say he didn't take all the birds, he took only part of the birds, whatever it might be. Now he has a mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. That's called Shalech HaShalech HaSa'im. So again, without getting bogged down in the case, because I could ask you the same question about any single case of Lav Anita Klase, if you hold chemo velo chemo, says Tosus, how do you know whether in fact he will be Mekayim the essay, spare himself Malkus, or he will rebelliously, adamantly deny the essay, refuse to do the essay, and therefore he's Kaibah. In both cases, since we have a Suffolk, we don't know, we can't predict if he's going to be Mekayim the essay, then we're back to Asra Suffolk. What did you gain by saying that according to Reish Lakish, chemo velo chemo is going to solve your problem? Bitlo Reish Lakish had to reject, because how do we know if he'll be Mevatel the essay, and therefore it's Asra Suffolk? The same question, objection I could raise against chemo velo chemo, who says that he's going to be Mekayim the essay? And if he's not Mekayim the essay, then fine, he should be Chayim Malkus, but maybe he will be Mekayim the essay, and therefore the Asra that we gave him is Asra Safi. So Rashi has already given his answer to this question. Rashi says, let's review it, if you underlined it, that's great. Rashi said that Halav Nigmar, the Lav is complete with the violation of the Avera, and that makes it into Asra's Vadai. But for essay nitan lios tachas hamalkus, the essay is just a substitute for the malkus. But the chiv malkus is completely and certainly set in stone with the averus halav. So that makes it into asuras vadai. But Tosus apparently is not happy with Rashi, as you'll soon see, and therefore Tosus is looking for an alternative. Says Tosus, v'yesh lomar. The hashta mia over below sikach. Right now he's violating the law of losikach ha'em. The lokari, the different girsels in Tos, lokari mechusar maisa. In other words, Tosa says the following. Tosa says that Asra Safik means when a person in the present state has not completed the Maisa. The Aver is incomplete. That's called Asra Safik. Meaning, I tell you now, don't do X. But your violation of the law is only locked in if you violate X plus Y. That's called Mechusar Maisa. That's a case of Hasra Safek, and that's Bitlo Velo Bitlo. Because Bitlo Velo Bitlo means not only did you violate the law, but you actively were Mavatel the essay, you destroyed the essay. Bitlo Velo Bitlo is therefore Mechusar Maisa. But in the case of Kimo Velo Kimo, if I hold like Reish Lakish, then it's not Mechusar Maisa. Why? Because Tosa says, if things remain as they are, what we call status quo, then he's Chayav Malkus. He can only do something to change the status quo. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, the status quo has not yet emerged yet. The Chayav Malkus depends upon the completion of the Averis Halav through what? Bittul Ha'esei. But in the case of Reish Lakish, if things remain as they are, we use the phrase Sheve Altas, if he does nothing, then as is in this present state, he will be Chayiv Malkus. True, he can do something to get himself out of that state of Chayiv Malkus by being Mekayim the essay, but that doesn't make it into Hasra Sofik. Hasra Sofik, says Tosis, is only when it's Mechusar Maisa. Let me give you an example, and I'm going to test you now to see if you understood a word of what I said. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. If I give him a Hasra, don't drink wine, he gets Malkus. Why isn't that Asra Safek? He could drink the wine and not get Malkus. How? Exactly, it could be Matir is Nazirus. Nazirus, like any other Neder, allows itself to Hatorah. And what's the answer, Max? Because it's not Mechusar Maisa. Why isn't it Mechusar Maisa? Because if things remain status quo, he drinks the wine, then he violates the law and he's Chayav Malkus. True, he can do something to get himself out of it, but he has to add another action in order to undo what he did, in order to undermine his Aver Salav. But if things remain status quo, then he violates the law. So again, according to Tosus, Hasras Vaday or Hasras Safek depends upon the following issue. You have to ask yourself the following. If somebody violates the law, what happens next? If he needs another action to complete and clinch his lav and engender a chiyuv malchus, that's called mechusar maisa, that's asra sofek. But if, on the other hand, once he does action X in the present state of being, he's chayuv malchus, it's just that he can do another action to spare himself and undo what he did, that's not called mechusar maisa, because in the status quo we assume that what we see is what we know is what we see, and he's going to violate that. Well, bitlo is what Reish Lakish rejects. I mean, so what's going to be the case of Hasra Safek? Oh, so let's say, for example, I say to you, you take a shvua, and you say the shvua is you take a shvua that you won't eat X if you eat Y. X is one loaf of bread, and Y is another loaf of bread. So kikar zu alai b'shvua im ochal kikar zu. That would be asra safek. Why? Because when you tell him don't eat the first kikar, which is the shvua kikar, he may or may not violate the law. It all depends if he goes ahead and eats the second kikar. That's called mechusar maisa. So when I need another maisa in order to engender the law, I don't have any chazaka, I don't have any assumption on my part that he is chayav. Tosa says I can only create this chazaka. The halacha can only operate with the assumption that as is your chayav malchus, if you don't need another action in order to clinch your chayav malchus, it's not mechusar maisa. And that's kimo v'lo kimo according to Reish Lakish. But if you have bitlo v'lo bitlo, or in the case of a tanai, in the Shvua, where you need the other action, action B, in order to activate the law on action A, whenever you need another Maisa, that's I call it B, in order to activate the violation of A, that's called Mechusar Maisa, that's called Asra Sofek. So now let's compare Rashi and Tosfos and ask ourselves the following question. Tosfos is not excited about Rashi. He says that he finds Rashi difficult. Upirsha Kuntras Kasha Lahovin. He finds it difficult to understand Rashi's Pshat. But let's just summarize the Machlokas Shin Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that Kimo Velo Kimo is Hasras Vadai because you don't need anything else to complete the Averis Halav. The Averis Halav is already complete. And the function, the goal of Kiyum HaEseh is to replace Malkus. Tosis, on the other hand, says that the reason why Kimo Velo Kimo is Asras Vada is because it's not Mechusar Maisa. Because in the present state of being, unless he changes the status quo, but in the status quo there's a chazakah that he's violating the law. Once we have that chazakah because of the status quo, the absence of any other action to undo what he did, that's called Asras Vadi. What is it, Asras Safek? That's only if I need a second action to complete the first action, and I have no way of knowing and predicting if he'll do the second action. If I cannot establish chazaka based on action A, that he will definitely be mechayev malchus, because you can't establish chazaka assuming that someone is going to do something. You can establish chazaka based on the status quo. That's how chazaka operates. Halacha works with an assumption. And, you know, if you check a mikveh out and it's got 40 saw, then you assume it's a kosher mikveh until you know otherwise. If it has 39 saw, then it's not a kosher mikveh until you know otherwise that you added another saw. Chazaka always works with the status quo. And there are hundreds of examples of this. This is another example.
What establishes this chazaka?
What establishes this chazaka?
Yeah.
Chazaka means status quo. Chazaka means if things are allowed to take their course without any change. I mean, you're a little bit into computers, no? So let's say in computers, if you would set up a program, and now you want to cancel the program. Well, unless you actively press the delete button or whatever it might be, the program stands as is. Correct? So, but in that case, you have a chazaka. Meaning, as is, there's a life and a continued existence to that program until you do something to erase that program. That's what Tosis calls Hasras Vadai, and Tosis identifies that with Kimo Velo Kimo. Because unless you do something else to undo what you did, then you are Chayav Malkus.
Don't you also have a Chazaka in the other case, where it's Hasras Safek, where he's still innocent until he does something that changes his state?
Give me an example. What do you have in mind? I gave you that Hasras Safek in the case of the Shrua, Shalo Ochal Kikazu im Ochal Zu. Is that the case you want to talk about, or you have a different case? I don't know what.
The case of Shiloh HaKen.
Okay, Shiloh HaKen. So he refused Asra. He adamantly rejected Asra, and he didn't send away the mother. Now he can send away the mother. So Tosa says, if you hold Kimo Velo Kimo, that's Asra Vada. If you hold Bitlo Velo Bitlo, that's Asra Safek. Why? Because when I warned you, don't you dare take the mother.
Right.
Were you Mechusar Maisa, were you not Mechusar Maisa? Did you have to do another action in order to complete the Chiyuv Malkus? If I hold Bitlo Velo Bitlo, you have to shech the mother bird in such a way that now you can't send her out in order to be Chayiv Malkus. That's called Bitlo Velo Bitlo. Means you're Mechusar Maisa, you only Chayiv if you do A plus B. If on the other hand you hold Kimo Velo Kimo, says Tosis, then you're Chayiv Malkus in the status quo. Correct? Like, I'll give you an example. I hate this example, but it's just that my mind is in a little bit in the Masechta Sanhedrin. So there's a very famous case in Masechta Sanhedrin where Reuven takes Shimon and he ties him up under the burning sun. Today we would say he tied him over on the locomotive tracks, right? Now, as the locomotive is on the way, Shimon comes and he wants to free Reuven, his victim. And he trips and falls on his face. Reuven is gone. Can we prosecute Shimon as a rotzeach? The answer is yes. Why? Because what Shimon did to Reuven is he put, this has to do with drowning and other cases, he put Reuven into a state of being that if nothing changes, Reuven will die. That's called an act of Ritzicha. You can undo the act of Ritzicha, it doesn't matter. So for example, in the Gemara of Chitzo, Isha Mishum Chitzov, which is a sugyan bav mitzi, if I send a chetz out, I send out an arrow, then even if at some point, through no fault of my own, you know, some mitigating onus situation, I was unable to pull back the chetz at the last minute. Like for example, you throw something off, you throw somebody's utensil off the roof, and then you're running down the steps to receive it with a pillow. And lo and behold, you didn't make it on time, or somebody stopped you, or you tripped and fell on the steps. In that case, you're chayav. Why? Because you've already set into motion a maisa nezek, a maisa ritzicha. The fact that you thought you had the ability, and you didn't have the ability to remove what you did, that's irrelevant. The lav and the avera is complete. And that's called kima v'lo kima. But bitlo, says Tosis, is a whole other concept. It's mechusar maisa. It's not enough that you threw the kli off the top of the roof. The wind might carry it away and save it. You have to run down and take a stick and smash the kli as it comes down. So now we need two actions. You have to throw, chuck it off the roof, and now you have to smash it. That's called Hasra Safek. Because when we told you don't chuck the kli, the utensil off the roof, we have no way of predicting if you're going to do action number two. And the chazakah as it is now is that you're not chayv, because you're not chayv until you do action B. But if I hold chemo v'lo chemo, then I don't have to do another action in order to be chayv. I've already put into motion an action which engenders a full-fledged chiyuv. I could save myself. It's like the case of the nazir, who could go ahead and get together three people and be matir's nazir. It's wonderful. That he could do. But status quo right now, he violated his law. And that defines the hasra as hasra
suffer. What's the practical difference between the two? It sounds like something like
a time delay. Wait, the difference between what and what? Between bitlo and chemo v'lo chemo? Or?
Yeah.
Well, again, the practical difference is the following. In chemo v'lo chemo, we're going to say to you, buddy, you got two options now. Either A or B. Either you adamantly insist on holding on to somebody's object and you refuse to return it, and we're going to give you malchus right now on the spot. We're going to give you 39 lashes. Your other option is to immediately, urgently return the object and be mekayim the essay, and that's your substitute for malchus. If on the other hand, that will bitlo, he can play this game for the rest of his life. He can always say to Bezdin, you know what? I wasn't mevatel the essay yet. I didn't actively do the bitl essay. I'm not chayim. I'm only chayiv when I'm a vatal essay. He can go through his whole life holding on to the gzela. He hasn't shechted the cow that he stole, and say to Bezdin, you know, I haven't been a vatal essay. I have no intention of being a vatal essay. In other words, in the state of limbo, after having violated the law of gzela, he's not chayiv malchus, because Rabbi Yochanan maintains bitlo, he's got to do another action in order to be a criminal that deserves malchus. His criminal act is only clinched when he destroys the essay. Until that time, he's a half a criminal, but not a full criminal. Is lo nigmara averis halal. So that's a radical difference. In fact, I'll give you another classical nafkamina. What happens if he doesn't take away the bird, right? He doesn't send away the mother bird, and now the mother bird dies of a heart attack? Does he get malchus? Let's say, for example, I steal a cow, and the cow drops dead of old age.
He didn't actively do it.
So if I hold bitlo, what's the din? He's potter. He never completed the aver salav, because he never was mevatel essay. Bitl essay requires an action on the part of the violator. If, on the other hand, I hold chemo v'lo chemo, tough noogies, buddy, you have no possibility of sparing yourself from malchus by being mekayim the essay, because the animal ain't him. But even though it's no fault of your own, you know, it was natural circumstances, or somebody else killed the animal, it doesn't make one bit of a difference. Your chiyuv is set in motion, as we said, it's frozen, once you violated the law. That's called chemo v'lo chemo. And what are they arguing about? The Gemara says Hasra Safik. Once again, according to Reish Lakish, you have Hasra Safik in the case of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. Reish Lakish holds Hasra Safik Lav Shmei Safik Lav Shmei Hasra. Therefore, Reish Lakish could not possibly embrace the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Bitlo V'lo Bitlo, because when he violates the Lav, we don't know will he violate the essay or not. It's up in the air, and therefore it's Hasra Safik. We can't give Malkus. Says Reish Lakish, the only way of justifying Malkus in the Avera of a Lav Anita Kli Ese is if I maintain Kimo Velo Kimo, which means the Avera Salav was totally, completely complete with the Avera Salav. But Rabbi Yochanan holds Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. The Torah validates Hasra Safek, and if you do both A and B, you violate the law of Anyum of Atali Esay, we will give you Malkus based on Hasra Safek. Even though we never could have predicted one way or the other, will you be Mavatali Esay or will you not be Mavatali Esay? That's called Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. Now, here's the question I want to ask. Is there a difference between Rashi's Pshat and Tosis's Pshat? Again, Rashi says the reason why Kimo V'lo Kimo is Asras Vadai is because the Avera is Nigmara immediately. And the Malkus is only a substitute, and the essay is only a substitute for the Malkus. Tosis says the reason why Kimo V'lo Kimo is Asras Vadai is because of the Chazak. It's not a Mechusar Maisa. If things remain status quo as they are, you're Chayav. What's the Nafkin? Now, before we answer and analyze that question, we're going to throw out another question. The Gemara asked the Maikam Miflegi, what's the root of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And in truth, the Gemara gives a half-baked answer. The Gemara only goes 50% of the way. The Gemara really justifies why Reish Lakish could not possibly have Rabbi Yochanan. But let's turn it the other way around. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree to Kimo V'lo Kimo? What bothers Rabbi Yochanan about Kimo V'lo Kimo? Meaning, okay, Rabbi Yochanan, you expanded the definition of Asra, and Asra is valid even in the case of Asra Safek, and therefore you're free to accept the option of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. But that doesn't twist your arm and force you to the position of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. You still have another option. Why not Kimo V'lo Kimo? What's illogical or what's objectionable about Kimo V'lo Kimo? Bishleim, I understand the Gemara's answer in the case of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish could not possibly have adopted the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, namely Bitlo V'lo Bitlo, because that would entail Asra Safek. And how could you get Malkus for Bitlo Esay? It's Asra Safek Lav Shmei Asra. But you've never answered the other half of the question, meaning why does Rabbi Yochanan reject Reish Lakish? And Tosis gives a very strange answer to this question. Tosis says, the last line in this Tosis B'mai, he says, "Vahashta lo mefareish hashas taima amaylo omer Rabbi Yochanan kimo v'lo kimo ki Reish Lakish." The Gemara doesn't spill the beans. It doesn't reveal the answer to the question why Rabbi Yochanan refuses to adopt the position of kimo v'lo kimo. Divide bitlo v'lo bitlo mistabritfe. He says because bitlo v'lo bitlo is more logical. That's pretty strange. What compels the logic? You know, if you have a seesaw here, why do you tip the scale in favor of bitlo v'lo bitlo? No, all things were equal. You didn't have an issue with Asra Safek, whatever. You were just simply isolating one problem. One issue. When do I get Malkus for a Lav Anita Kli Esay? Is it because I wasn't fulfilling the essay, or is it because I was Mevatel the essay? I actively destroyed the essay. I don't know. If you ask me, I don't know. I'm not sure intuitively which way I would go, but Tosa says, Lo Mistaber, it's not logical to say Kimo V'lo Kimo. The only thing is that Reish Lakish has no choice. And by force of compulsion, he has to accept Kimo V'lo Kimo. Rabbi Yochanan, who has two options, is going to accept Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. But Tosis doesn't reveal why. So again, Rabbi Yochanan, let's just summarize two questions we have. Question number one, there's a Machlokas Rashi in Tosis as to why Kimo V'lo Kimo is Hasras Vadai. And question number two is why does Rabbi Yochanan adopt the position of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo? So I want to share with you a chiddush of the No Debi Yehuda. No Debi Yehuda lived about 300 years ago. His name was Landau. And he says the following. if you take a look at the Gemara here on Tezayin Amud Aleph for a minute, just to fast forward, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Lav she'ein bo maisa, ein lokin olav. Do you see that's the top line on Tezvav Amud Aleph? Right? And the Gemara is explaining Rabbi Yochanan. Lav she'ein bo maisa, ein lokin olav. What do you say? Oh, excellent. The reason why, says the note of Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan rejected Reish Lakish of Kimo of Lokimo is written right here in the Gemara. Namely, because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Lav She'ein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olav. Kimo of Lokimo is a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Why? Because when we take you into Beis Din and we give you two alternatives, we ask you, do you want to be Mekayim the essay and send away the mother bird or return the object that you stole? And you say, I'm not interested. That's an act of omission, not of commission. That's a lav shein bo maisa. How can we possibly give you Malkus for Kimo v'lo Kimo? The Gemara is going to tell us later that Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Malkin alav shein bo maisa. So Reish Lakish is free to accept the position of Kimo v'lo Kimo because he holds, based on Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll see later, that lav shein bo maisa lokinol. But Reish Lakish, that's good for Reish Lakish, but Rabbi Yochanan happens to hold that lav shein bo maisa ain lokinolav. Says the note of Yehuda, Kimo v'lo Kimo is considered a lav she'ein bo maisa. Then the Nod Vayu says, wait a minute, is that really true? It depends on the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. And here's where we're going to see the difference between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi, as we saw, and I told you to underline, it says that the lav is nigmar, completely nigmar, ve'esei niten tachas amalkas. Rashi says that he completes the averis halav when he steals, or when he takes away the fledglings without sending the mother, or when he divorces his wife in the case of Ma'anis, and so forth and so on, right? So Rashi says, that is the complete law. Well, that's a law of Sheish Bal Maisa. The essay is only a Bimko Malkus, according to Rashi. But Tosis never bought into Rashi Shita. You remember that Tosis says it's kosher. I don't like Pirush HaKushos. You know, Tosis says that the completion of the Avera, even if you hold Kimo v'lo Kimo, is dependent upon non-fulfillment of the essay. The only thing is that if you hold Kimo v'lo Kimo, we're going to give you an immediate choice whether you want to fulfill the essay or you don't. So true, it's Asras Vaday, as we said, because it's not Mechusar Maisa. You don't have to do another action to complete the Avera Salah. Status quo, as we said, chazak, if nothing changes, you're chayev. But why are you chayev? According to Tosfos, the reason you're chayev is because we have an assumption, that's called a chazaka, that you're going to refuse to change the status quo, to undo what you did, and be mekayim the essay. In other words, the aver salav sets up and engenders a chazaka that you're not interested in changing the status quo. Whenever I do an action, the assumption, the premise is that that action should stand, and I'm not going to do anything to undermine that action. And therefore, in the case of Kimo v'lo Kimo, we have an assumption that he's not going to be mekayim the essay. And that's why it's Asras Vadai. But when is he chayev? He's chayev when he tells Bezdin, looks Bezdin in the eyes, and in a very rebellious voice says, I'm not interested in being mekayim the essay. Oh, we're going to give you Malkus. Oh, that's what you did? That's called the lav shein bo maisa. Refusal to do an action is the absence of an action, and lav shein bo maisa ain't lokin. Is Memela Rabosai. Let's just review. We've gained two tremendous things from this note of view. I can't tell you how excited I am. No matter how I feel physically, I'm very excited emotionally because of this note of you. It really put it beautiful. Puts a smile on my face because he kills two birds with one stone. He gives us an opening to understand what is the nature of the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi is saying that according to Reish Lakish, the averis halav is complete in and of itself, independent of chemo or below chemo, whichever way you go. Tosfos says, no, the averis halav, even if you hold like Reish Lakish, chemo below chemo, is only clinched when you refuse to be mekayim the essay. Therefore, Rashi says Hasra'as Vadai is because we don't need anything else. We're just giving you Hasra'a and the Aver Salav. You completed the Aver Salav. You want to do the essay as a Bimko Malkus. That's a different story. But you've absolutely violated the Lav, and therefore it's Hasra'as Vadai. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not uncertain. It's not contingent. It's absolute. Tosa says, no, when he violates the law, he hasn't really violated the law yet. He needs A plus B. The only difference is that whereas Bilov lo Bilov means that B is an action, that's called Mechusar Maisa, Chemo lo Chemo means B is the absence of an action, the refusal to do an action. That refusal is what clinches the Averis Alav according to Tosa. And if a Tosa can maintain, on the one hand, that you have Asroas Vadai, because it's not Mechusar Maisa, but at the same time, Tosfos can insist that it's a lav shein bo maisa, because the clincher of the lav, if you follow what I mean by clincher, meaning the completion of the lav, is the refusal to fulfill the essay. That's a lav shein bo maisa. And the Note of Yehuda therefore submits to you that according to Tosfos, we have a beautiful answer as to why Tosfos says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, chemo v'lo chemo is lo mistaber. What does he mean, lo mistaber? What's wrong with chemo v'lo chemo? It's a beautiful svara. The answer is, chemo v'lo chemo hinges upon the assumption that you can get malchus for lav shein bo maisa.
Assumption also okay.
Aaron, you want to do me a big, big mitzvah and just add hot water to this? I push it, I need it for my throat. It's the top left button, you know, in that machine.
Yeah. Isn't an assumption that they make that he's not going to change his mind or not agreeing?
Right.
Isn't that a topic? Because you don't know.
Well, that's where the Torah says chazakah. The power of chazakah is that when a person sends out, you know, his arrows and he does an action, then he doesn't mean to retrieve it. Otherwise, why is he doing it? So that we have inherently an assumption that that action continues to exist. There's a life to the action.
Wouldn't it be if a person draws a string on a bow and he doesn't intend to shoot, and it releases?
Right. No, you're right. You're right. There are always exceptions to the rule. If, let's say, for example, thank you so much, he's holding on to the reins, for example. Let's see if I can give you an answer without getting too far off on a tangent. The Gemara has a case in Gittin where the Torah says, "V'nosan biyada," he has to give the get into our hands. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a get being delivered? It's a fascinating thing to watch. I was doing shimush back in the day when I was in Grus, I don't know, 100 years ago, and our job, this was Dr. Lamb wanted us to do this, we went to the Batei Dinim and we watched Chalitzis and Gittin and other issues that came up in the Beis Din. So it's a fascinating thing to see a get. What they do in the case of a get is they bring the woman forward and they ask her to open her hands and you know, like this, and put her two hands together. And they warn her, don't close your hands until we tell you to do so. Then they bring over the Baal in front of two Eidim, and the Baal puts the get into her hands, and only after the entire get is in her hands, then they allow her to close her hands on the get, and that's when she's Megureshes. If she prematurely closes her hands, that's not called Venosan Biyada, because it's in her possession as a result of her action. It's got to be totally a result of his action. So the Gemara in Gittin in the 7th parak has the following example. Gito v'yado u'meshicha v'yado. What he does is he ties a string to the get. He puts the get into our hands, but he has a string and he still could decide to pull back the get. And then she comes along and she cuts the string. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether that's called a Nesina. On the one hand, the entire get was in her hands. But on the other hand, he still had a Mashiach of Yad, though. He can still pull it back. So his Nesina is incomplete. So you're right, there are cases in which, even though a man sets up a process, and what do you call it in physics, when you put the energy force into something, you throw the ball, right? There are situations in which you throw the ball, but you have within your hands, something that can hold, that can carry, bring back the ball as it's in flight. Those are Mashiach of Yado cases. But otherwise, lacking the Mashiach of Yado, if a man does a complete action, we assume he's not going to retrieve that action or undo that action, and that's called a chazok. That's as Tosus is the secret of Reish Lakish's Hasras Vadai in the case of Kima Velo Kima. Okay? Now, Rabosa, we want to read the Gemara inside. I mean, we've done a lot outside, but we got to get back inside. So here we are on Daf Tesvavim in Beis. The Azdu L'Tamayif. Okay, Tesvavim in Beis. We're still in Tu B'Shvat. And we're four lines up from the bottom of the Daf. V'yazdu, and they go litamayu. In other words, litamayu means this is an old machlokas that Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan have, and each one is following consistently in his opinion. The itma we learned shvua sha'ochal kikar zeh hayom. This is not the case that I gave you before. I gave you a case where he said a shvua, I won't eat this one if I eat that one. Here he has only one loaf of bread in front of him on the table, and he takes a shvua that he has until the end of the day to eat this kikar. I give myself 12 hours, whatever it is, to eat the kikar before the termination of the day. And then, lo and behold, the day passed, the lo achla. So intuitively, you would say you should get malchus for that. Yeah, but there's one issue. The issue is hasra safek. Because what are we going to tell him? We're going to say to him, if you don't eat this bread, you're going to get malchus. Well, wait a minute. Maybe he won't eat the bread, but later on he'll eat the bread. And he can keep pushing you off. The Achronim have a long discussion, which we addressed last week. What happens if 1 second before Shkia, you gave him the Hasra? Fine. But barring that case, it's always Hasra Safek, because who knows if you'll violate the law. Correct? Maybe you'll eat the Kikar later on, despite the fact that you didn't listen to his Hasra. Now the Gemara says there's another issue over here. And that is Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Because how does he violate this Lav in this case of a Shvua? By eating the Kikar or by not eating the Kikar? By not eating the Kikar, that's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Diyamri Shavayu Einolok. Both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say you don't get Malkus in this case. But for two different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Einoloka, why? And now we go on to Tezayin. Mishum Davi Lav Shein Bo Maisa. V'chol Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olav. Since he violates this law by non-eating, by abstaining from eating, that's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. There was no active violation of the law. And therefore he doesn't get Malkus. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan is not bothered by the fact, the more substantial, fundamental deficiency here, of Hasra. There's not even Hasra. Reish Lakish Omer, Eino Loka Mishum Davi Hasra Safek. V'chol Hasra Safek Lo Shmei Hasra. So the Reish Lakish is saying that this would always be Hasra Safek, because even if he violates the Hasra and he decides adamantly not to eat the Kikar, he always has time postponing it, pushing it off, as we always do, we push things off, he can eat it later on. So it's a Hasra Safek. The reason Reish Lakish does not offer the answer of Rabbi Yochanan is because Reish Lakish happens to hold Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olav. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't offer the answer of Reish Lakish that we have Hasra Safek is because Rabbi Yochanan holds Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. And now the Gemara says, "V'travayu aliba de Rabbi Yehuda." And this machlokes, it's a twofold machlokes. They're arguing about two fundamental issues in Hilchas Malkus. The name of this Masechta is Malkus. That's not coincidental. And two of the most fundamental issues in this Masechta are being debated right here in front of our eyes. And that is, number one, can you get Malkus for a lav which doesn't entail an asiya? And number two, can you get Malkus for a lav when the asra is asra sofer? And it's interesting, Rabbi Yochanan is machmir and mekil. Rish Lakish is machmir and mekil. Rabbi Yochanan is mekil, and he says you don't get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa. But Rabbi Yochanan is machmir, and he says even if it's asra safek, you will get malchus. Rish Lakish is mekil, and he says if it's asra safek, you don't get malchus. But he's machmir, and he says a lav shein bo maisa, you do get malchus. And they both argue about Rabbi Yehuda. Tesanya, we learned in Brisa, and Rabbi Yehuda says the following. The Torah says, this is in Parshas Bo, V'lo sausiru mimenu ad boker, do not leave, in this case it's the Karban Pesach, till the morning, that's the morning of the 15th, and v'anosu mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisrofu, I'll adding the two words. If you violated the Isur Nosar, then you have to burn the Nosar. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Bo HaKosuv Litein Ese Achar Losase Lomar She'ein Lokinov. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the following. What is the significance of the fact that the Torah added this essay right after the Losasa? They're contiguous in the same very passage. And the reason is the Torah wanted to tell you that I give the Torah, I'm saying I in the name of the Torah, that I give you the option of rectifying the lav. And therefore you don't need Malchus. How do you rectify the lav? By taking Nosar and burning it. We have a similar thing in Chametz, where the Torah says that you're not allowed to leave Chametz in your possession. And the Torah says if you have Chametz in your possession, you have to destroy it. That's the mitzvah of what? Tashbis, Vir Chametz, right. So wait a minute. Let's just understand the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be assuming that if not for the essay, if not for the fact that the Torah added Ba'esh Tisrofu, what would have been the deal if a person violates the Isur Nosar? Would he get Malchus or not? Why is this? I can hear a pin drop here. This is not good. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that Ba'akasa means the reason why the Torah added the essay of Ba'esh Tisrofu is to alleviate the violator, in this case, he violated the law of Lo Sosiru, of Malchus. What's the implication then? If not for the essay, he would be Chayiv Malchus for violating Nosar. Forget about the essay. I have two very good reasons why he should not be Chayiv Malchus in the case of Nosar. What are those two reasons? Number one, Lav Shein B'Vayis. Number two, Hasra Suffering. Because what am I going to tell him? I tell him, don't you violate Nosar. Well, how do I know that if he violates Nosar, you know, Nosar is like the Aver that we spoke about of Shmush Ochal Kikr Zuayom, the Over Ayom Velo Achla, meaning Nosar is an Aver which is violated over an extended period of time. Correct? So I can never pinpoint a moment in time during that day or during that night in which I say to you, you better eat this Kodeshim now, because if you don't eat the Basar Kodesh, the Karban Pesach, whatever it might be, you're going to violate the law and you'll be Chayiv Malchus. No. I can take my time. I can always postpone it. And it's very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan Diei Kachi. Rabbi Yochanan focuses his attention on only one element here. Taima de Ba Hakos. The reason why you don't get Malchus is because Ba Hakosuv. Hello, Ba Hakosuv. We didn't have the mitzvah essay of Sreifas Nosar Loke. Alma, what we see from this is Asra Sofek Shmei Asra. So Rabbi Yochanan chose to focus our attention on Asra. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently assumes that the premise of Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa is that Asra Sofik Shmei Asra. The reason you don't get Malchus is because of Lav Anita Kliese. But if I isolate the Lav per se, he would in fact get Malchus despite the fact that Asra is Asra Sofik. Reish Lakish Diei Kachi, but Reish Lakish focuses our attention on the other dimension. Taima de Ba'a Kosuv, Alo Ba'a Kosuv, Loke Alma Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olav. Now, Rabosai, there's something very, very odd about this Gemara. The truth is that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are correct. Meaning, I should be able to derive both A and B from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, by presenting the thesis of Bar Kosov, is assuming both A, that Asra Sofek Shmei Asra, and B, that you get Malkus for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan comes to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Asra Sofek Shmei Asra. Correct? And Reish Lakish comes to the conclusion that Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olav. But there's something missing over here. Let's turn to Rabbi Yochanan and let's turn to Reish Lakish. Let's say they were both sitting here in the room. Okay, we'll start with Reish Lakish. So I would turn to Reish Lakish and I say, Reish Lakish, are you telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hasra Sofek, Lav Shmei Asra? I mean, you yourself will be forced by the force of logic to conclude that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hasra Sofek Shmei Asra. Because otherwise, how could you get Malkus for Nosar? And then I turn to Rabbi Yochanan and I would say, Rabbi Yochanan, are you telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Lokin Olav, then how can Rabbi Yehuda say you get Malkus for Nosar? In other words, there are two logical deductions, both of which are correct. And yet Rabbi Yochanan chooses to focus our attention on one to the exclusion of the other, and Reish Lakish does the opposite. And that's, I think, what the Gemara is going to ask now. V'Rab Shimon ben Lakish Nami, you also have to admit that Hasra Sofek Ishmei Hasra, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davari Hasra Sofek, who... There's no question that Nosar, by definition, is Hasra Sofek. So the Gemara answers, Sofer lo ki'idach Tana de Rabbi Yehuda. There's another Tana, another Braisa, that quotes Rabbi Yehuda, and that Tana certainly holds, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Asra Sofek lav Shmei Asra. Meaning, from the first Braisa, we'll call it Braisa number one, exhibit number one, we'll call it the Braisa of Nosar, it would seem that Asra Sofek, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmei Asra. But that far Reish Lakish is not willing to go. He's going to reject that dimension of the Braisa, and he's going to assume, name, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll soon see in this next Braisa, Hasra Sofek, Lav Shmei Asra. And Reish Lakish is going to prefer the second Braisa, which is called the Braisa of Hakah, of hitting, as opposed to the first Braisa of Nosar. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, okay, what's the case? So let's say a woman is divorced and she gets remarried, and she remarries very soon after the divorce. Halakhically, she's not allowed to do so. She has to wait 3 months. But she went ahead, decided, you know, she chapped a guy and he was willing to marry her. So she took advantage of the opportunity, she got married, and then lo and behold, she gets pregnant. And we don't know if she's pregnant for the first husband because there's what's called a preemie, a 7-month-old baby, or she's pregnant for the second husband and it's a 9-month baby. Or did I get the other way around? I think I said, just 1 second. Yeah, the other way around. Either she's pregnant from her first husband and therefore it's a 9-month baby, correct? Or she's pregnant from her second husband and it's a 7th-month baby. Again, today we don't have these issues because we have DNA testing, right? What do you call it, Doc? DNA, no? Is that, I have a whole, I don't know if I have it here. You know this Dr. Steinberg has this Nishmas Avram Sefer? So he has a whole section on the halachic status of DNA testing. You know, DNA testing can today solve many problems. But you know, it's getting even more complicated. I would see where DNA testing might be an issue, even from a scientific perspective, because now, you know what they're doing now? They're taking different DNAs from different people and putting them together, because they want to solve, you know, certain hereditary diseases. So they're going to take a woman's ovum and, you know, they're going to isolate certain, you know, DNA and get rid of it and substitute another woman's DNA. And I suppose they'll do this for men also at some point, in which you'll never know who the real father is, right? In any event, here's a case where we don't know whether Reuven's the father of this baby or Shimon is the father of this baby. Now, there are two cardinal sins, you know, capital punishments, that apply between a son and a father. One is he's not allowed to wound his father. That's called Hakah. And the other is he's not allowed to curse his father. That's called Mekalel. Well, what happens if this man is Mekalel, one of these two people, Reuven or Shimon? We don't know if that's his father or it's not his father. But what happens if he's Mekalel both of them? Then for sure he was Mekalel his father. We may not know which one is his father, but he definitely is, no question, was Makala's father. If he hits both of them, he's definitely being Makhil Aviv. What do you say,
Max?
Right, right. So the first case in the Braisa is that he did two akos or two klolos, b'zachar zeh, one subsequent to the other. Then the next case is v'hikos shneim b'vasachas. So let's say he took a big stick and with one swing he hit both of them. O kilel shneim b'vasachas, with one curse, he cursed both of them. Chayev. This is according to the Tanakhama. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'vasachas chayev. I agree with you in the case of vasachas. If he curses both of them, if he hits both of them, he's chayev. But zechar zeh potur. Says Reish Lakish, you know why he's potur going to Rabbi Yehuda? Because it's asra suffix. When I want him not to hit Reuven, that's a suffix. When I want him not to hit Shimon, it's also a suffix. Meaning the asra always has to be focused on one action. And if that isolated action is the subject of asra and it's a suffix, then it's not a valid asra. He can't be punished. But if he hits them in one fell swoop, hits both of them, then I can give him asra svada and say, don't hit both of them. So therefore, if Reish Lakish has a source in this second brisa, we'll call it the brisa of Hakah, to prove that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hasra Safek, Lav Shmei Hasra. Even though from the first brisa, namely the brisa of Nosar, you would have drawn the opposite conclusion, namely that Rabbi Yehuda would have assumed that you get Malkus for Nosar, even though that Lav is a Safek, is Hasra Safek. But in this toss-up between Bryce Exhibit A and Bryce Exhibit B, Reish Lakish tips the scale in favor of B. Nu, Frekta Gemara, now the question is on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Nami, how could Rabbi Yochanan derive the conclusion that Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Olhov? The case of Nosar is a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda insists that you would get Malkus if not for the fact that Ba'a Kosuv and the Torah set up an essay. So the Gemara says, Savra lo kiha. Rabbi Yochanan, as far as Lav Shein Bo Maisa, has a different source to prove that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Malkus in the case of a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. And now the Gemara has a whole string. It's like I call it a chadgadya, which ultimately takes us back to Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar of Idi Baravin, Omar of Amram, Omar of Yitzchak, Omar of Yochanan. You see how careful the Gemara was about maybe Gul Holiolam, about Omer Dov Veshem Omro. Is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Even Rabbi Yehuda is quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Kol Losa Seshabat Torah Lav Shei Yesh Bo Maisa, Lokin of Lav Shei Bo Maisa, Ain Lokin Olav. So if the lav doesn't entail any active violation through a maisa, there's no malchus, with three exceptions. There are three exceptions which are all verbal or oral declarations, and they engender malchus, even though there's no maisa, there's no physical action, it's only speech. And what are those? Chutz mi, number one, nishba, a person takes a shvua. Number two, meimar. Okay, we'll talk about Meimar in just a minute. And number three is Mekalel Eschavero B'Shem. A person who gives a klola to his friend and mentions the name of God in the klola. What's Meimar? Meimar is a parsha in the Torah called Tmura. And that parsha is towards the end of Sefer Vayikra, Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yomer, also means you have a behema that's Kodesh L'Mizbeach, it has Kedushas Mizbeach, and you decide that you want to transfer that Kedusha from behema A over to behema B. That's called an Averis Halav of Lo Yomer, and you get Malkus for that even though there's no mice. So just on the side, Kedushas Domim can be switched from one object to the other through Pidyon. But Kedushas Haguf or Kedushas Mizbeach is absolutely set in stone. You can never transfer it. And if he tries to transfer it through Tmura, he violates a lav in the Torah. Will he get Malkus? I would have said it's a lav Shein Bo Maisa. Comes along the Gemara and says that this is one of the three exceptions to the rule. And despite the fact that it's a lav Shein Bo Maisa, you get Malkus. I'll keep you for another 2 minutes just to round off the sugya. Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. So what's going on over here? At the end of the day, we have the first brisa on the one side, and against that we have either according to Reish Lakish, another brisa called Hakah, or a statement attributed to Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Lav Shein Bamaisa. At the end of the day, we really have what seems to be an irreconcilable contradiction. So the Gemara answers, Eil Rav Shimon ben Lakish. If I'm going like Rav Shimon ben Lakish, then Trei Tanoi Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda. We have two Tanoim, both of whom have a different tradition or different version of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Who knows? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda said something in his youth, and then when he got older, he changed, he rescinded his original position. So one Tana heard from Rabbi Yehuda the Bar Kosev of Nosar, and therefore he's of the Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion Asra Sofik Shmei Asra. But another Tana heard from Rabbi Yehuda the Makah of his case, where if it was Bazach Arzeh, he doesn't get punished because Asra Sofik Lav Shmei Asra. And that's how we can reconcile the two brises by saying there were two traditions, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda Il Rabbi Yochanan Lokasha Hadi Dei. Notice if you're talking about a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Lokin Olof. However, in the name of his Rebbe, one second, did I get that right? Yeah, that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds. No, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda himself is of the opinion that Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokin Olof, and therefore in the case of Nosar, you get Malchus, if not for the Nituk to the essay of Srefa. Aye, Rabbi Yehuda is quoted as saying Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ain Lokin Olof. That's not Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but he never accepted that opinion. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here.
Shkoyach. I need you to have strength and health.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.